Well, good morning. Good to see you today. Thank you, Lord. He's blessed us for another week, another opportunity together. Study His precious word together. Ask you to look at your bulletin so you know those things that are planned in the near future. Remember those people that we definitely need to remember in prayer. Continue to remember Brother Billy and Sister Regina as they rest a while. He gets his battery recharged and he comes back wide open. So, this morning, you know just about as much about the lesson as I do. It's been one of those weeks, it seems like, that things just didn't come together. And last night I started with a whole new plan, and this morning I'm back to the old plan. So I don't have any idea what we're going to do today, but the Lord does. This is one of those positions He puts you in every once in a while and says, hey, I'm in charge of this. You just remember that. So it's not what we can do, it's what He can do. So we're going to continue to look at the Ark of the Covenant and this process that we've been looking at it. So, but before we begin this morning, I want us to have a prayer, but I want you to turn to Judges chapter number 17 and then Judges chapter number 25. And then we'll be back to 2 Samuel, chapter number 6. So if you want to find those places, we can turn to them in a few moments. But I thank you for being here with us today in our sanctuary. And thank all those who are listening in by way of internet. We never know who or where, but thank the Lord they are interested enough to tune in and hear what the Lord has to say. And again, if there's any truth spoken, it will be not because of me, but because of Him. So bow with Him, if you will, and then we'll look at our lesson together today. Lord, as we come before You, we do thank You that You are our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, we thank You that we do know that if there's any truth that comes out of Your precious word, which is truth today, it will be because of You and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It will not be what a physical man has done. Lord, we must totally depend on You to produce the truths of Your word. There's so much higher than we are and so much above our ability to comprehend. So if it's rightly divided, You must walk us through it. And today, Lord, we'd ask that You would grant that request, and that You'd open our hearts and minds to Your precious word. And just remember how loving and kind and gracious and patient and long-suffering You are. But Lord, we also know that though You are a God of all those things, You're also a God of judgment. And You give opportunities not to be in the judgment, but be in Your grace and mercy. And we thank You, Lord, that You have granted that opportunity to us as we've lived our lives. Again, Lord, we'd ask Your blessings upon all that are present to hear Your word and all those who speak Your precious word today. Help us all in unity in Christ may be uplifted and glorify Your precious name. And it's in the name of Christ, Your Son and our Savior, that we do pray and ask this day. Amen. Now, as we have seen the progression with the Ark of the Covenant, and the thing that I was looking at in the beginning was I was going to go back and I was going to go review a lot of things that we've already talked about. And I was going to look, you know, we were talking about the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. It seemed like we've gotten a long ways from that. But this study of the Ark of the Covenant has just been overwhelming to me. I don't know about you. But you know, when we began, just before they crossed, the nation of Israel crossed out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea in the wilderness, the Lord appeared to them, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that was there, the way God led the nation of Israel. Then we know they crossed and get into the wilderness, and then the Lord gave Moses a plan to build a tabernacle. And of course, we know all those things were in the tabernacle, but the main thing in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And if you remember in the latter part of Exodus, and it says Moses finished the work. In other words, everything that's part of the covenant and a part of the tabernacle, I mean, had been made as God had directed. It's been set up as God has directed. And now Moses left it. And when Moses finished his work, it says, then the Lord filled it, came down and just filled the ark of the tabernacle of God. So now we have the Ark of the Covenant that the nation of Israel had been following. And we have gone with them. They were in the wilderness as they journeyed, and it moved, and they moved to follow it. They crossed Jordan, and they crossed into Canaan's land. And when they crossed Jordan, they went to Gilgal. And then the Ark of the Covenant went from Gilgal, and it goes to Shiloh. And as we've looked, we've seen that it has now ended up in Abinadad's home, and there it stayed for a while. Now, I want you to look at something that has taken place, though. There's a book in God's Word called Judges. And the nation of Israel were put under the judges in the period of time that covers the book of Judges. And if you look at it and read some in the book of Judges, the nation of Israel were in a good relationship with God, and then they went whoring after the images of those nations round about. And they forgot God. And God put a judgment on them. And then God used the judges to bring them back to Him. And that's time after time after time after time. But now here in Judges, I ask you to turn to the 17th chapter. And I want you to look at the verse or two here. We're going to look at it in two different places. And I think we'll see, if you were to study the book of Judges, what this attitude brings. And it can only bring this to the people that are in this position. Now, in the 17th chapter of the book of Judges, in verse number 6, and in those days, there was no king. Now remember, the nation of Israel wanted a king. God says, you don't need a king, I'm a king. No, we want a king like the rest of the nations do. So God gave him Saul. That didn't work out too good in the end. God told him it wasn't, and it didn't. God, he don't lie. But you know, we finally come to David. But anyway, in those days, it said it had no king in Israel. And what's the next word in that verse? What have I told you about that word? You better pay attention, because somebody's fixing to get butted. He said, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, where does that put us when that happens? Now, if you want to see another nation like the nation of Israel, just look at the U.S. of A. Everybody thinks now that I can do exactly what I want to do, and whatever I think's right, I can do it. And you don't say anything about it or do anything about it. And if you do, then you're called what? All kinds of names. You name them and you can get called that. So that we are in that position now. We're in a nation that don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, go back over now to the last Judges, and let's see how Judges closes out and see where it puts us. You know, now I want you to notice they said they had no what? They had no king. When you look at a nation, we have presidents and we have our Congress, so-so, such-and-such, quote-unquote. And we've got a bunch of people up yonder that nobody don't care anything about you and me. They don't care anything about this nation. It's just me, myself, and I, and all the power that we can obtain, and that's all they care for. So, but it said they had no king, which means you have nobody, especially with the nation of Israel. They had nobody in authority. In both of these verses, it says they have no king. And they did what? No king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So that's where the nation of Israel was here. And that's the reason the nation of Israel were setting up idols and worship images and had the groves and all those things. Now, when we look, and I've looked and looked and searched and looked, and we look at the book of Judges, you'll have a hard time finding anything about the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what did I say the nation of Israel followed when God set the tabernacle up and the Shekinah glory come down and fill the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was? And God says, you follow what? It. When it moves, you move. When it directs, then you go. So what's the thing that's directing them to where God wants them to go? Where the Ark of the Covenant goes? Well, you and I are blessed beyond measure, because each one of us have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit, and we will study the Holy Spirit. Lord, I think we will if I don't die before old age, before I get there. We'll study the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But every one of us who are saved in here today and those who are listening, if you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, at the new birth, the Holy Spirit came and it dwells within us. Now we have something within us that leads us in our daily walk with the Lord. With the nation of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant is leading the nation in their walk with the Lord. But, and a lot of you heard this before, if you were to quit coming to church, they'd be your last day for a while. And let's say you didn't come for a month. Do you think you'd feel less guilty at the end of the month for not coming to church, or more guilty? Now, I wish you let that soak in. Would you feel less guilty for not coming to church in a month's time, or more guilty? If you were to go 6 months, do you think you would be less guilty, feel less guilty, or more guilty? If you were to go a year, you see, the thing we do is that next Sunday, that'd probably be on your mind a pretty good little bit. Within a month's time, it probably wouldn't be as heavy on your mind. In 6 months' time, it'll make no difference. I guarantee you it wouldn't make any difference. What have you done? You have what we call in God's Word, it says we can do what with the Holy Spirit? We can quench that Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's the thing that's guiding us. So we've quenched that Holy Spirit. And that puts us farther and farther and farther and farther out of His will for our lives. Well, what do we say is leading the nation of Israel as a nation? Ark of the Covenant, Shekinah glory that's filled with tabernacle. When it moves, they move. Now, the way that it was set up, the way that Ark of the Covenant was set up, you got 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And the tabernacle, 150 by 75, it's sitting dead center. Okay? So here it sits. And then you have, of the 12 tribes of Israel, you have them north, south, east, and west. And the center part of all the tribes of Israel, as they're set up in their tents and living quarters, the center of all that is the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the Shekinah glory is, and from where they are, they can see that all the time. So it's in their presence all the time. And you don't go till it tells you to go. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's in our heart. And what we need to do is that when it says stand still, we need to stand still and listen. When it says go, we need to go. But we get, in this fast-paced world today with no patience, right now, give it to me right now, let me do what I want to do right now. And a lot of times we forget God in the process of it. So what we see with the nation of Israel, we've studied here. They don't know where the Ark of the Covenant's at. Half of them don't. I don't know. I'm into this so deep now. I don't know. Like I said, I don't hardly know which way to go. But let's get the Ark of the Covenant to its final resting place. You know, last Sunday, we talked about it in 1 Samuel when the Ark of the Covenant was taken to a resting place that it stayed for 20 years. So let's go to 2 Samuel for just a moment now and look at a few things there. Still, we're going to go to 2 Samuel, we'll go to the 6th chapter. Now, still, I'm wrestling with this thing about why the nation of Israel said, if you touch it, if you even look at it, the judgment of that is a death sentence. But then we looked at those nations, the Philistines took it and put it on a cart and took off with it and brought it and set it up before their gods. They didn't die by touching it that I found yet. But I'll tell you what it did do. It brought judgment on them more than they could stand. To the point, get this thing out of here, get rid of it. We want it gone. And remember, they put it on that cart with the two cows and they didn't even drive them. They just sent them that away and they watched it until it got back to where God wanted it to be at that time. Now, so David is now king of the nation of Israel, so they've got a king. So now David wants to do something with the ark. And what does he want to do? He has provided a place for it. He wants to bring it back to Jerusalem. So he's now going to begin the process to bring it back. In the 6th chapter of 2 Samuel, verse number 1, and again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. You know, sometimes we lose count of how many people the nation of Israel was made up of. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him to Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the what? The Ark of God, which is the Ark of the Covenant, whose name is called, and he explains definitely what it is now, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of the host that dwelleth between the cherubims. So now David says, all right, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. So he's going to go to pick the ark up and bring it back home. Now, I want you to pay attention. I've told you. Do you remember? I want you to remember these couple, three words. Verse number 3. Now, who's going to get the Ark of the Covenant? David has chosen men to go get the Ark of the Covenant. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. That was in Gibeon. And it says, and Uzziah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. You see anything wrong with that verse? When the Ark of the Covenant, God gave command to Moses how to build the Ark of the Covenant. They put four rings on the Ark of the Covenant, one in each corner, you remember? And then they took what? They took staves that were overlaid with gold, and what did they do with them? They stuck them in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if that covenant is going to be moved, I mean, that Ark of the Covenant is going to be moved, it's going to be picking up by four priests, tribe of Levi, where the priests come from. They will shoulder the Ark of the Covenant, and that's the way it's going to be transported. Now, if you remember, when the Philistines brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it before their gods, how did they bring it? You remember how they transported it? Come on, y'all, now, I've not been doing a good job if you don't remember this. Huh?
On a cart.
On a cart. On a cart. Now let me tell you something. Benson Grove Baptist Church better not follow the way of the world to do God's work. Our new ways of church in this society we live in don't work that well. I'm going to tell you. The Lord set up guidelines in this book, and we better follow them. We think this is too old. We need some new and modern ways of worshiping. You better be careful. This new modern way of carrying the Ark of the Covenant, is God going to say, well, that's just okay. You can do it that way if you like to do it. You're going to take it and put it down in the temple? That's all right. You watch what he does. And he don't play around. They took it and they put it on. Now, I want you to notice another thing in this. At least they did have sense enough to build a new cart. You can build all the new churches you want to and not honor God in them. The place that you and I set this morning is a special place. And we walk through those doors there or these over here, don't make any difference. And walk into this place. You're in a special place that God has seen fit to sit on this hill for you and I to come and worship together. And he says, forsake not your assembling together. And he did that for a reason. How many of you in here this morning have felt closer to God in a worship service than you have anywhere else. How many times in a worship service has the Lord, through His precious Holy Spirit and through His precious Word, squeezed on your heart and tears have run down your face and dripped on your clothing? This is a special place. Now, how you present yourself in this sanctuary is between you and the Lord. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether you're saved or not saved. When I come to church, I dress like I do to honor Him, because I think this is a sacred place that I walked into, and this is a place where I can meet Him, and I want to be presentable when I do. And that'll go one step farther, too. It's my thing this morning, so I guess I can do it. So. Y'all forgive me. When I leave here today, if I go to a restaurant or I go to Bojangles or whatever, and I say this because it's happened. Happened not too long ago. I walked in Bojangles and a lady there said, "Did you preach today?" I said, "No, ma'am. I'm not a preacher." Why did she think that I might have preached today? What was the difference? The only difference was the testimony of what I was wearing was the testimony of the Lord. So you see, it goes farther than this. If, and while I'm on this, I just will go ahead with it. If you this morning, well, it's Sunday, so let's just say, so this week you get a call and you have a meeting with, could be your boss or whatever, but you have a meeting with somebody special. And you say, "Well, you've been chosen for an award, and we want you to come so that we might present this award to you on such and such a date. Would you dress differently to go obtain that reward than you would to come here?" The reward that you've gotten here is a free reward that you have absolutely done nothing for. But God has granted it to you by His mercy and by His grace and by His love. And He has given you and I a reward of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. And would I not want to come in and honor Him in His house of worship? So I'm off of that. That's my new cart deal. I've got a better way. Does it work? Let's see if it does. And he said, they set the ark upon a new cart. And of course, they brought in Abinadab's, and here we got with the priest again. And he said, they was driving that new cart along, just clipping along. And it says, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahaz went before the ark. So he goes before it. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood and of the harps and the pets and all those instruments they played. And they came to the court, but that's the threshold. And it says, and Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. That's okay. Yes. I don't want it to fall off the cart. It come to a little bad spot in the road, so to speak. So he took his hand and he took a hold of it. For the oxen did what? Shook it. So the oxen in the new cart pulled it along. Shook it, and he thought it was going to fall. What would you have done? If you were walking along there with it, you'd have probably done the same thing. Now, what put him in this position? If they had not put this on a new cart, if they had not had the oxen carrying it, if they had been carrying it like God told them to carry it, no, he commanded them to carry it. If they had been following the commandments of the Lord in the way that he set it up to handle this, this would have never happened. But with their new thoughts and their new ideas and their new ways, now they have done something. So it has shaken, and he has taken hold of it to stabilize it. Well, what did that bring? I want you to look at verse number 7. And the what? I don't believe that says love, does it? I think it says, and the anger of the Lord was, what? Kindled against Uzziah. And God smote him there for his, what? Error. And there he did what? He died by the ark. God's pretty serious in what he says, is it not? You know, we're in a society today that church after church after church, and I've heard it till I'm tired of hearing it, per se, God's love and God's kind and God's caring and God won't send anybody to hell. It's just he loves and he loves and he loves and he's kind and he's gracious. Is he not the same God today that he was in 2 Samuel in chapter number 6 and verse number 7? Does he not say that he never changes? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So if the disobedience of his people made him angry, what you think our disobedience in this dispensation of grace does? It makes him angry too. Look at the United States of America. You know, and I've said many times, God, now you're talking about patient and long suffering. He's patient and long suffering because if he was not patient and long suffering, this place would already been disintegrated. And one day it will. He's not going to. He's just absolutely going to not keep blessing this nation the way he's always blessed it, because we've done just like the nation of Israel did, and we've turned totally from him, and we've got all kind of images now It might be a house at the lake. It might be a house at the beach. It might be a house in the mountain. I've worked hard all the week. Now I've got me a place up there, and I've invested all this money. So now I've got to make best use of it. So on the weekend, I'm going and enjoying myself at that. Or it might be ball games. It could be just money. I got to work and make more and make more. You can't ever be satisfied with what we got. What is your God? What is your image? This country's trusting in and everything but God. So he said he died there. He died there by the ark. He said David was displeased because the Lord made a breach. David was what? I'm going to say something as plain to you as I know how to say it. As much as I love every one of you and as much as I respect every one of you, you can be displeased with me, mad with me, whatever with me, I don't care. If it says it, the Holy Spirit directs me to speak it, it's spoken. And I don't want to be hateful, but whether you like it or not, okay? And if I feel like the Lord directs, Holy Spirit leads, I speak, conscience is clear. But if I soften it up, my conscience is not clear anymore. Speak it, thus saith the Lord. I've got a minute to let go. Verse number 8. Now, he was displeased. But what did it bring also? Verse number 8, and David was displeased. But verse number 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day. Why was he afraid of the Lord that day? He had seen God fulfill one of his commandments. You put him on a new cart. You did your thing. And because y'all did your thing that was not according to my will and way, then you saw my hand of judgment. And my hand of judgment frightened you. And it frightens you all the way to the king. So it don't make no difference how high you are on the pedestal or how low you are on the pedestal. It applies equally to everybody. Disobey God, judgment. The time's gone, I gotta quit. We're gonna get this ark moved and we're gonna put it in its final resting place. We'll try to do that next Sunday, Lord willing, and bless us to live that long. Thank you much for being here. Maybe I didn't make you too mad today. You'll be back next Sunday. God bless you.